I don't know if I'm a beautiful mess, but I do know this: God will take our mess and make a beautiful message out of our mess. If you look inside your bulletin, you will find an outline of today's message, Safe in the Storms of Life. I'm going to ask all that are able to please stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. In verse 4, we read, "From there we put out to sea again and passed to the lee of Cyprus, because the winds were against us. We had sailed across the open sea off the coast of Sicily and Pamphylia. We landed at Myra in Lycia. There the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing for Italy and put us on board. We made slow headway for many days and had difficulty arriving off Cnidus. When the wind did not allow us to hold our course, we sailed to the lee of Crete, opposite of Salmone. We moved along the coast with difficulty and came to a place called Fair Havens, near the town of Lasea. Much time had been lost, and sailing had already become dangerous, because now it was after the fast. So Paul warned them, 'Men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship, cargo, and to our own lives also.' But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and the owner of the ship. Since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided that we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. This was a harbor in Crete, facing both southwest and northwest. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they thought they had obtained what they wanted, so they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the nor'easter swept down from the island." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us to understand that Paul and Luke were caught in this storm and had a shipwreck. And God, you recorded it in your word for our benefit. And God, may you use their example to encourage us and to inspire us in the storms of life. For we make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. According to an article in USA Today, when Americans were asked what is the most traumatic experience you can go through, here are the top five answers. Number one, the death of a child. Number two, the death of a spouse. Number three, the death of a parent. Number four, the inability to purchase food. Number five, your home being destroyed by fire, flood, or natural disaster. This morning, hundreds of thousands of our fellow Americans are facing one of the most traumatic experiences of life. Some of them have already lost their home to fire, the largest fire in Los Angeles County, to flood, the largest flood in the history of the state of Texas, and to natural disaster, the whole state of Florida is under a hurricane warning at this time. Now, you and I may not be facing floods or hurricanes or the lack of the ability to purchase food, but we all face storms of life. Just recently, my wife has been through somewhat of a storm. She had a double spinal fusion on her back. It's her fifth back operation in a few years. She's had severe muscle spasms, pain, and complications to her surgery. This past Thursday, she had an allergic reaction. She broke out with blisters from the top of her head all the way down to her feet, thousands of them. And they have burst and they are burning and they're itching. It's like being covered with 10,000 fire ants at one time. We were in the emergency room yesterday. On top of that, her mom and her dad and her baby are on a cruise ship in the Caribbean. At a time when there are three hurricanes in the Atlantic Ocean. Well, not to worry, they said. We will go away from the storm, so they go to Cozumel off of the coast of Mexico, where they have the largest earthquake in 100 years. The Apostle Paul and the Apostle Luke found themselves in a wooden boat in the middle of a hurricane in an ocean. Folks, you can love God and you can serve God, but that does not mean that storms will not come into your life. There are certain smiling preachers on television that says if you'll follow their formula, you're going to be healthy and blessed and prosperous. And folks, that's just not true. You can do everything right and still have heartache and sickness and tragedy and difficulty in life. And the reason for that is Adam rebelled against God. Sin has entered the world and you and I live in a sin-cursed world. And folks, it's not going to get any better till Jesus comes back and straightens it up. But you and I can be safe in the storms of life. I want to begin by sharing with you 5 ways to sink your ship. Okay? Now, they're on this ship. We didn't read all of 27, but if you go read all of it, the ship is going to sink. They're going to lose all the cargo. But God is going to spare everybody's life on the ship because of the faith of one person. Do you realize that your faith and your trust in God will not only bless you, but it can bless the people around you? Notice here 5 ways to sink your ship. When you're in a storm, don't do any of these things. Number one, you make decisions based on compulsion. Verse 9, much time had been lost. And sailing had already become dangerous because now it was after the fast, so Paul warned them. All right, so they've been waiting around. And so somebody says, hey, we got to do something, even if it's wrong. Well, listen, don't do it if it's wrong. You see, sometimes we just get tired of waiting on God. But the Bible says, be of good cheer, wait, I say, on the Lord. You are never wasting time when you're waiting on God. But notice here, there's this compulsion. I got to do something. You see, sometimes when life is hard and you're in a storm, you feel compelled to do something, and what you do many times is wrong. Do you understand that the Holy Spirit leads people? The Holy Spirit never drives people. And so it's by compulsion. I had a pastor friend of mine. I always loved his response. Somebody had come up to him and said, Pastor, we're wanting you to do this. And he said, well, I'll pray about it. They said, well, no, I need an answer now. He said, well, if you need an answer now, the answer's no. Because if I don't have time to pray about it, I don't have time to do it. And why would he say that? He was saying, I'm not going to be pressured to do something. I'm going to wait on God. Number two, all of these start with a C. I don't know if that helps you remember them or not. Make decisions based on consultation. Verse 11. But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot, that is the captain, and of the owner of the ship. All right, so here's the Roman centurion. You know, he's a high-ranking Roman soldier. He's in charge here. And so Paul says, don't do it. The captain of the ship and the owner of the ship says, yeah, let's do it. Now, if you're a centurion, who are you going to listen to? A Baptist preacher who knows nothing about sailing, or the captain of the ship and the owner of the ship? Listen, folks, if you got a decision to make, you better listen to what God says and not what the experts say. Because the experts are many times wrong. Okay? But so many times we'll go, well, so-and-so said. Let me tell you, many of the things that I learned in college in science classes are now being taught, well, that was wrong. This here is true. Well, how do you know what they taught back then was true and what they're teaching now is a lie? You see, God's word doesn't change. And this stuff that we call science, it changes all the time. You see, scientists used to say the world was flat. Okay? They were wrong. But God is not wrong. One woman said to her pastor, said, you know what, I'm having marriage problems, and so I've been seeing a psychiatrist. He said, well, that's good. Is it a Christian psychiatrist? She says, well, I don't know. Does it make a difference? He said, oh, yeah, it makes a huge difference. She says, well, he's been to school. He's got a degree. He's a doctor. I said, well, who are you going to? Well, I'm going to Dr. So-and-so. He said, oh, that's not good. She said, what do you mean that's not good? So well, he's been married 5 times. You know what? He might be an expert in some things, but he's not an expert in marriage because he's failed 5 times. You see, sometimes we look for the experts. And Pastor Ken, I don't know if this is your experience, but let me tell you what my experience has been in the ministry. Many people who come for counsel, they don't want to know what God has to say about it. What they do is they've already got their mind made up, and they're coming to you for you to agree with them so they can go back to somebody else and say, well, Pastor Dennis said... They don't want to hear from God. They just want somebody to rubber stamp what they've already thought. Okay? And so consultation. Number 3, you shipwreck your life when you make decisions based on comfort. That is, what is easy, what feels good. Verse 12, since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided that we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. This was a harbor in Crete facing both southwest and northwest. All right, so they got to make a decision. Do we sail or do we stay? Well, we're not going to stay because that's not going to be very comfortable. Well, friend, I want you to know it's a whole lot more comfortable in the Motel 6. It might not be a 5-star motel, but it's a lot more comfortable in the Motel 6 on land than it is in a wooden boat in the middle of a hurricane in the ocean. Okay? Well, it's not very comfortable. Years ago, there was a song, and the lyrics went something like this. How can it be wrong when it feels so right? Well, sometimes it feels right, but it's still wrong. You don't go by comfort. And then, number 4, don't make decisions based on consensus. Don't do a focus group or an opinion poll. Notice here in verse 12, since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided that we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. This was a harbor in Crete facing both southwest and northwest. All right, but notice here, they take a boat. And the majority of the 272 passengers said, hey, we're going to side with the captain and the owner, and we're not going to side with God's man. He didn't know what he's talking about. Talking about opinion polls, I'm reminded of last fall. Every opinion poll said Hillary Clinton was going to be the next president of the United States. Well, let me tell you what Hillary found out. The polls were wrong. You see, the majority is not always right. Think about it. In Noah's day, everybody said Noah was a kook until the rain came. Think about the 12 spies who went over into the promised land and saw everything that God said. 10 of them came back and said, we can't do it. 2 of them says, with God's help, we can do it. Notice both times the majority is wrong. All right, and I want you to hear this and hear it good. The average church, the majority is wrong. How do you know that, Pastor? Well, the majority doesn't come to prayer meeting. The majority are not soul winners. The majority are not tithers. If you can't even get basic Christianity right, how are you right about anything else? Well, this is what everybody else is doing. Well, if everybody else is wrong, do you be wrong too? Number five. I really want you to hear what God has to say about number five. And that is you wreck your life when you make decisions based on circumstances. In verse 13, when a gentle south wind began to blow, they thought they had obtained what they wanted. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. So what did they do? They checked the weather channel. They licked their fingers, stuck it up, said, oh, we got a nice gentle. Here's our sign. This is the sign we need to set sail. It doesn't matter what God says. It doesn't matter what God's man says. Only thing that matters is we have a sign. Oh, there's so many people, and what will happen is a bird will hit their windshield. Oh, there's my sign. No, it's not. That's a bird that got in the way of your windshield. Now, how do I know this? Notice what Jesus himself said in Matthew 12 and 39. But he, that's Jesus, answered them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign. But no sign will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. You understand what Jesus said? It's an adulterous group of people. It's an evil group of people that seek a sign. And so when you're looking for some sign in the circumstances of life, the Bible says you're just following the example of an evil world. Well, Pastor, if I'm not going to follow a sign, how am I supposed to know what to do? Well, 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. The Bible says, now faith is hearing and believing the Word of God. So how am I supposed to walk? I'm supposed to hear what God says, and I'm supposed to do it. God had spoken to Paul. Paul gave them God's Word. They didn't listen to it. Instead, they walked by sight. Oh, we have a gentle wind. We got a sign. Reminds me of an old boy. He's a farmer. He's out there plowing one day. He's plowing. He looks up and there's clouds. Have you ever noticed there's sometimes shapes in the clouds? Oh, well, here's a sign from heaven. It looks like that cloud, it makes the letter P. And this cloud here makes the letter C. He said, I believe God has called me to preach Christ. PC, preach Christ. So he put down his plow, put up the horse, announced his call to preach the gospel, went and told his pastor. His pastor put it on the calendar so he could preach. He got up there to preach, and it's the worst sermon they'd ever heard in their life. I mean, he couldn't preach his way out of a wet paper bag. It was a total flop, and he came and he said, Pastor, I just don't understand. I know there was a sign from heaven, PC. And the pastor looked at him and said, Brother, maybe it stood for plow corn. You see, that's the problem. When you make decisions in life based on the circumstances instead of what God says. But I want to give you a word of encouragement today, and that word is, in the midst of the storms of life, when you're doing everything you can to serve God, and it seems like everything's going wrong, if you trust God, He will take three actions in your life. Number one, God will guard you in the storm. Verse 22, but take courage, none of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. Notice here, God's made a promise. God says, all right, Paul, I promise you will live, and everybody on the ship will also live. Now, the cargo's not going to make it, the ship's not going to make it, but I will guard your life. Listen, the folks down in Florida, you can replace boats, you can replace cars, you can replace houses, you can't replace lives. And God told Paul, I will guard your life in the storm. Notice here, the crew charted their course by the stars. Verse 20, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. You see, when you chart your life by the sun and by the stars, when a storm comes along, you have no bearings. You don't know where you're at. You don't know where you're going. You have no way to chart your course. And that's why the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. You remember John F. Kennedy, Jr.? He had everything. He had fame. He had fortune. He had looks. He had it all. But he was flying in an airplane, crashed the airplane, killed himself, killed his girlfriend, and killed her mom. Now, how did this happen? Well, he's flying and everything's fine. The clouds set in. The fog sets in. But he doesn't know how to fly the airplane by reading the instruments. He can only fly the airplane by looking on what's outside the window. You see, he was flying by sight, not by faith. And so these people, what are they doing? They're charting their course by the stars. You know, there are people in America that do this every day. They get up and they read their horoscope to see what kind of day. Listen, you ought to get up and take out God's word, not your horoscope. But notice here, the believer charts their course by Scripture. In verse 25, so keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as He told me. He said, I got faith. But notice it's not blind faith. It is faith in what God has said. In other words, let God be true and every man a liar. He said, I'm going to believe what God said. Let me give you an example of how God can guard your life even in the midst of a storm. In Europe, the Nazis were conquering every place and destroying places. And they're outside of this town. They're going to come into the town the next day. They're just razzing everything. And there's an elderly Christian woman there. And that night, in her prayer, she said, God, put a wall of protection around my house and around my family. When she got through praying, her grandson mocked her. Said, Grandma, that's foolish. God's not going to protect us from the Germans. That night, it began to snow, and the snow turned into a blizzard. And so you got this snow falling rapidly. You got this huge windstorm coming along. And you want me to tell you what God did? God took his finger, and he had the snow to blow a snowbank up against this elderly woman's house. So the next day, when the Germans come rolling in with all their tanks and all their soldiers and all their artillery, they don't even see her house. It's protected by a snowbank. You see, God can guard you in the midst of a storm. And then next, this is something that you may not have thought, but it just blessed my heart when the choir talked about joy today, because one of the actions that God will do in the midst of a storm, if you trust Him, is God will gladden you in the storm. Notice verse 22. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for they shall not be loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Why don't you circle that word, good cheer? It is one word in the Greek New Testament. It is the word euthumia, and it means good emotions. He said, have good emotions. Now, I'm in the ocean. We're in a hurricane. The ship is going to go down, but I'm supposed to be happy about that. How in the world is that possible? Well, notice here the contrast between Paul and the sailors. Notice here the crew wandered. Verse 15, the ship was caught by a storm and could not head into the wind, so we gave way to it and were driven along. See, they've been blown off course. They're just drifting along. They don't know where they're at. They don't know where they're going. Some of you right now are just drifting along in life. You don't know where you're headed. You don't know where you're at. You don't even know what's going on around you. Yesterday, Teresa's mom called from the cruise ship on a satellite phone. And they're talking. And of course, Teresa wants to know where you're at. You see, they're supposed to have flown out of Miami yesterday. And her mama says, we're out in the open sea. I don't know where we're at. We can't see land. I don't know where we're at. I don't know where we're going. I just know we got plenty to eat. Some of you right now are just drifting along. You're in the midst of upheaval. You're in the midst of a storm. You're in the midst of a crisis. And you're just drifting. And God is saying, you need to set some anchors. Number two, notice here, not only did the crew wander, but they wasted. Verse 18, we took such a violent battering from the storm that day. The next day, they began to throw the cargo overboard. Listen to what I'm having to say. When you know the will of God and you choose to get out of the will of God, there's always a price you have to pay for being out of the will of God. God said, don't sail. They sail, and guess what happens? They lose everything. Listen, it might be difficult to serve God, but it pays to serve God. It costs something when you rebel against God. Notice their motive now is not making a profit. Their motive now is just staying alive. And what are they doing? They're working, they're working, they're working, they're working. They're throwing stuff overboard. They're tying rigging up. They're doing all of this stuff. What? Just to survive. I didn't have room on the outline, but I want you to write down this reference. Proverbs 13:15. The way of the transgressor is hard. Proverbs 13:15. See, they have rebelled against God, and now they find it hard and they difficult. Okay? Many times it looks like it's the easy way, but God's way is always the best way. 50 years ago, President Lyndon Baines Johnson declared a war on poverty. After 50 years of waging a war on poverty, how are we doing in America? There are more people living below the poverty level now than they were 50 years ago. Maybe what the government should do is declare a war on sin. Because you see, it's when we sin against God that God's hand goes against us. And when we trust God, it's when God's hand of favor is upon us. So they wandered, and then they wasted, and then number three, notice the crew wished. They wished for a better day. Verse 29, then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. They were wishing that the sun would come up. Notice here, it's just a wish. They have no hope. They have no confidence. They've given up all hope whatsoever. Now, while they're wishing, what is Paul doing? He's down below and he's praying. Folks, when you're in the midst of a storm, don't wish your life away. Get on your knees and seek God. Seek God's help. Seek God's protection. Seek God's guidance in your life. And then number four, the crew withdrew. Verse 30, in an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. You understand what's going on? There's a little lifeboat on this ship. The sailors are going to get on the lifeboat. They're going to let the ship go down, let everybody else go down, and they're just going to save themselves. You see, a lot of times when there's a crisis, a lot of times when there's a tragedy, a lot of times when there's a difficult, there is the tendency of human nature to run from the problem, to try to escape from the problem. And I've noticed that people will try to escape from life using various things. Some people will escape to their video games. It amazes me. You see these young adults, and wherever they're at, they've got some kind of electronic device, and you think, oh, what are they doing? You look over there, and they're playing some game. That is, I'm going to escape to some fantasy world that's not real. Or they'll escape into their hobbies, or they'll escape into alcohol, or they'll escape into drugs, or they'll think, oh, the easy way for me to get out of this is I'm going to escape by divorce. And then, tragically, sometimes, people try to escape by suicide. But folks, it doesn't work. It never has worked. It never will work. It never makes anything better. It just makes everything worse. Now, I want you to contrast that with Paul, whose heart was glad. I mean, how could he be glad in the midst of all of this? Well, I don't have it in your notes, but I think one of the things that made him glad was he stood up and he said, "Fellas, I told you so." Well, don't it feel good when you just tell people, "I told you so," huh? Especially when you said, "God said it this way, you did do it God's way," and you can say, "See, God's way is right." But I believe that there is some biblical evidence for his glad heart. Notice in Psalm 16, 8 and 9, "I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken, therefore my heart is glad. And my tongue rejoices, my body also will rest secure." What did he do? He said, "Always have the Lord before me. He is at my right hand." He could be glad on a sinking ship in the middle of an ocean in a hurricane because he was not alone. God was with him and he had his eyes on God. And again, I think he'd go back to God's Word. I didn't have enough room in your outline, but Jonathan, I put it up here on the PowerPoint. You see, Paul was a disciple of God's Word. He read God's Word. He studied God's Word. He lived God's Word. He applied God's Word. And so look here at this. What happened? What's that? Okay. Said it's the wrong file. You got your Bible? All right, turn in your Bible to Psalm 107. You see, that's the wonderful thing about technology. When it works, it's great. And when it don't, you have your Bible as backup. All right? Psalm 107, verse 23. Psalm 107, verse 23. "Others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest." What is that? That's a hurricane. "They lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths." I mean, the boat's going up and down and up and down. "In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love." You see, as a student of God's Word, what did he know? He knew that these people went out to sea. They ran into a hurricane. The ship is tossed around. They're just flopping on the boat like a bunch of drunks. But what did God do? They called out to God. God calmed the water, and God rescued them. He had a glad heart because his focus was on God. He had a glad heart because he was a man of prayer. He had a glad heart because he was getting his inspiration from the Word of God. So what do you do when you're in a storm? You get on your knees. You open up your Bible. You put your focus on God and not on the storm. Well, the third action that God will take for you when you're in the storm is God will guide you in the storm. Number one, notice here that it'll be guided by the presence of God. Verse 23, "Last night an angel of the God whose I am and who I serve stood beside me." What guided Paul? In the midst of the storm, God was right there with him. little boy was walking out in the woods with his grandpa, and they had walked and walked for a long time, and the grandpa finally said to him, he says, son, how far have we walked? He said, I don't know. He said, where are we at? He said, I don't know. He said, well, how do we get back home? He said, I don't know, grandpa. And so grandpa looked at him and said, well, then you're lost, aren't you? He said, no, I can't be lost. I'm with you. Do you understand, friend? If God is with you, it doesn't matter where you're at. God knows where you're at. God knows what you're going through. God knows what lies ahead. His presence will guide you. And then secondly, they were guided by the promise of God. Verse 25, so keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as He told me. Folks, this book right here has 7,000 promises from God. And let me tell you what Paul did. He took this book right here and he said, all right, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. And so what do? You take God's word, you find one of His promises, and you latch hold of it, and you let the promises of the word of God guide your decision making while you're in the storm. And then lastly, guided by the purpose of God. Verse 24, and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. God has a purpose for your storm. Before the services ever got started, I came in, and Kathy's over here getting the stuff up ready. And she said, how's Teresa doing? And I was giving her an update on it, and she just overcame, and she just started weeping and crying. And she said, I just don't know how you get through it. You know, I know you trust in God, but, you know, it's just been so much all at one time. And I said, Kathy, when you squeeze a tube of toothpaste, let me tell you what comes out. What's on the inside. And you see, when a true believer of Jesus Christ gets squeezed by life, let me tell you what comes out. What's on the inside. And can I tell you, if Jesus is on the inside, when you get squeezed, let me tell you what comes out. Jesus comes out. If the joy of the Lord is in your heart and you get squeezed by life, let me tell you what comes out. It's the joy of the Lord. You see, man rules, but God overrules. You see, the centurion says, we're going to do it my way. And God says, I'm going to overrule that, and I'm going to do it my way. Friend, God's got a purpose in your life. God had a purpose for Paul. You're going to Caesar. You're going to the most powerful man in all the world, and you're going to give a witness to the power of Jesus Christ. And a hurricane's not going to prevent that. A storm is not going to prevent that. I want to share with you a true story told by one of our missionaries. Her name is Dr. Helen Rosevery. For many years, Dr. Rosevery was a missionary in Zaire, Africa. There's a woman in the village who was pregnant, and she went into delivery premature. There's great complications to the pregnancy. The baby survived, but the mother died. And so she's there, and all the little children are around the little hut. And she comes out and tells them what happens. And one of the little children said, Doc, let's pray that God will send what we need. You see, that little baby needed an incubator. Well, they didn't have an incubator. They didn't have electricity to run the incubator. And so this medical doctor said, what we need is a hot water bottle. And then somebody said, well, how about the baby's little sister? You know, they're not going to have a mama. Let's pray for a doll. This is a group of children, right? And so here's a little group of children out in this village, and they hold hands and they pray. And they say, God, would you send a water bottle to keep this little baby warm? And would you send a doll to comfort her little sister and the loss of her mama. Folks, this is out in the bush of Africa. That's a pretty big order. The next day, all the little children were hustling and bustling around with excitement as a package had been delivered to the village. And they opened it up, and it had food in there, and it had clothing in there. And then they kept digging in the box, and guess what they found? A hot water bottle. And they kept digging in the box, and you know what they found? They found a little doll. But here's what I want you to know. The package had come from London, England. And the package had been shipped out 2 months prior. Because you see, it took that long in that day to get the shipment from London, England to Africa. You see, the woman hadn't had the baby. The woman hadn't died. None of this had happened when it was shipped. But you see, God knew that it was going to happen. God knew what they were going to pray. God had a purpose and God had a plan to be glorified in all that took place. And what you need to realize is this, you're either coming out of a storm, you're going in a storm, or you're in the storm right now. And God says, if you trust Him, I'll guard you in the storm, I'll gladden you in the storm, and I will guide you in the storm. If you would bow your head, nobody's looking around. Is God speaking to you today? Is He saying to you, don't listen to the experts? Don't listen to the majority. Don't listen to the crowd. Instead, God is saying, listen to the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not going to push you. The Holy Spirit's not going to drive you. But the Holy Spirit will lead you if you let Him. As we have this invitation, as the Holy Spirit tugs at your heart, would you follow His lead? Heavenly Father, Lord, whatever it is You would have us to do, whatever, God, we need to turn over to You, whatever we need to trust You for, God, may we step out in faith right now. God, may You guard our life, gladden our hearts, and guide us through the storms of life. Thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You would please stand as we sing. We invite you to come.